Ever wonder about the lives your ancestors might have lived? Like, who were they? What did they do? Well, today we're going back in time and we're going to explore possible military lives hidden within a single name, Farndale. Now, we're not like actually building a family tree here. We're talking about uncovering this huge, really fascinating history of military service. And it goes back centuries.
And it's all through the actions of people who share this last name.
Exactly.
It's a really different way to experience history, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely.
It's not just dates and battles from some textbook, you know? We're going to look at the human side of all these conflicts through this one surname.
Right. It makes history relatable, even personal.
Wow.
And, well, we're going to kick things off in the late 1300s with a guy, a certain Richard Farndale.
Okay, so Richard, what's really interesting about this guy is the amount of detail we have about his military equipment after his death, of course.
Okay.
So imagine, like, picture a medieval soldier's shopping list, right?
Yep.
A bassinet that's a helmet, a breastplate, arm guards, even leg harnesses. This guy was decked out.
Wow, yeah, that's, he really went all out.
Oh yeah, this wasn't some rusty old sword, let me tell you.
That's some serious commitment to personal protection.
Right.
What does all that gear tell us about, you know, about medieval combat?
It tells you how absolutely brutal it was.
Yeah.
We're talking, what, the Hundred Years War, Wars of the Roses. This was hand-to-hand combat, arrows flying everywhere. You had to protect yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Richard's equipment. I mean, that was his life insurance. It really shows you, like, just how intense things were for a soldier back then.
Yeah, it makes you think about it a little differently. Okay, so from all that heavy armor, we're going to the open seas. Our next Farndale, Giles, takes us to the 18th century. He's 27 years old, and he's press-ganged into the Royal Navy.
Can you imagine that?
I know.
One day you're just, you know, living your life. The next, you're on some warship, barely trained, and they're telling you to fight.
Wow. Yeah, that's rough. And this wasn't just any random conflict either.
Oh, no.
This was during the War of Jenkins' Ear.
Right. Now, I know you're thinking, the War of what?
Mm-hmm.
But it just goes to show you how even something that seems, well, kind of insignificant.
Yeah.
Like a severed ear.
Yeah.
How that can turn into this huge global conflict.
Wow.
It was all about, well, trade routes, who controlled the colonies, you know, the usual stuff between Britain and Spain.
Okay, so our poor Giles, he's just thrown into this volatile situation.
He probably didn't even know what he was fighting for, really.
And tragically, he dies at sea within a year.
Yeah, it's a harsh reminder, you know, of what life was like back then in the Navy.
Yeah.
I mean, the disease was everywhere on those ships. And most sailors, well, they didn't live very long. It's very likely that those awful conditions, well, they played a big part in his death, especially if you consider what it was like during the Battle of Cartagena de Indias. He might have been there.
It's amazing to think that for Giles, the battlefield wasn't some far-off land. It was, what, a cramped, probably disease-ridden ship thousands of miles from home?
Exactly. And sadly, his story, well, it wasn't unique. There were thousands just like him. And it just shows you the human cost of these historical events.
Yeah.
You know, as we go through time here, we find another Farndale, and his story really makes these events come to life. John George Farndale, he was in the Crimean War.
What's really something about John George, he didn't just fight, he wrote about it. We actually have pieces of his letters that he sent home, and let me tell you,
oh, wow.
They give you a real look into what it was like back then.
The Crimean War, that was a messy one. You had Britain, France, the Ottoman Empire, all against Russia. It was a war full of, well, bad decisions, terrible conditions, and just a staggering number of casualties.
It's rough, and you can really feel those challenges in his writing and his letters. He talks about, well, the constant fear of enemy fire, the backbreaking work of building defenses, just being completely worn down.
And there's this one part, it's pretty chilling, where he almost dies. A stray bullet flew right past him, killed three of his comrades right next to him, just like that. Yeah, and the fact that he could even write about something so awful, so traumatic, with such a sense of, I don't know, detachment, it speaks volumes about what war does to your mind.
It's a powerful reminder that behind all those big stories of history, there were so many individual stories of courage, resilience, and, loss.
That's it. And, you know, sometimes those individual stories, they cross paths with other fascinating bits of history. Like, take N. Farndale, for instance. He thought in the Second Boer War, as we moved into the 20th century, and just before he's deployed, there's a record of him playing in a cricket match against a regiment called the Buffs.
Cricket and combat, that's That's not something you hear every day. What's the story with the Buffs?
Oh, the Buffs. That's actually a nickname. It's for the East Kent Regiment, and they've got a history that goes way back. They were known for being disciplined and incredibly brave in battle. I mean, they were so good, they even impressed Rudyard Kipling.
Kipling.
Yeah.
Like the Jungle Book Kipling.
That's the one. And get this, he actually wrote about the Buffs. He used the phrase steady the Buffs. He really captured their, I don't know, their spirit, their refusal to give up, even when things were bad.
Wow.
So this cricket match, it might seem random, but it connects N. Farndale to a famous author and a legendary regiment.
It really shows you how everything's connected in history, doesn't it?
For sure.
And speaking of connections, N. Farndale, he wasn't the only one facing danger in the Boer War.
You're right, you're right. We've also got Sergeant William Lang Farndale. He was in the Northumberland Imperial Yeomanry during that war. And what's amazing about him is after everything he saw, all the horrors of war, he comes home and becomes Rothbury's brewer.
That's something else.
I know, right? Talk about resilience.
Yeah, even after going through so much hardship, he finds a way to rebuild, you know, to contribute to his community.
Absolutely. And that brings us to a really significant moment on our journey, the start of World War I, a war that would have a huge impact on the Farndale family. Over 40 of them served.
It really hits you, you know, how these global conflicts, they touch everyone, families all over the world.
It's true.
And within this huge story, we have these three Farndale brothers, William, Alfred, and Jim.
Three brothers, each fighting for a different army. You've got William with the Canadians, Alfred with the British, and Jim, well, he had moved to the United States, so he's with the U.S. Army. It's hard to imagine one family spread across the world, linked by blood but separated by circumstance, and then bam, they're all pulled into this massive war.
World War I was truly global. It really shows you the human cost, just immense.
Absolutely.
And each brother, he has his own story to tell, his own experience of this war.
You know, William, he was fighting on the Western Front and he got wounded at Vimy Ridge. If you know Canadian military history, that battle's a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
And we've got this letter he wrote home from the hospital, and it's full of pain, of course, but also uncertainty, this deep longing to be with his family. You could just feel the weight of everything he went through in his words. And then there's Alfred. He served with the British Army and saw action on a bunch of different fronts. He remembers things with a bit of humor, oddly enough, and he uses such vivid detail. You can practically hear the sounds, smell the smells of the trenches. And he talks about the camaraderie, too, that bond you form with the guys you're in the trenches with. It's incredible.
It's like you're right there with him.
Exactly. Dodging artillery, the deafening noise of battle, it really transports you.
That's amazing. What about Jim? What was it like for him in the U.S. Army?
Well, we don't have any letters from him, unfortunately, but we do know he served honorably. He was probably in some of the biggest, most important battles of the war. Can you imagine what it must have been like for those brothers after the war?
Oh, I can't even imagine.
To sit down, share those experiences, their lives forever changed by what they went through together. It's incredible.
So we're moving from World War I to World War II now, and we see the Farndale family story. Well, it's caught up in this new kind of war, one with, you know, all these new technologies. It's changing so fast.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, think about it. From the trenches of World War I to the skies, the battlefields of World War II, the changes were just immense. Tanks, airplanes, this whole new scale of fighting with machines. It was like nothing anyone had ever seen before.
And in the middle of all this, we have guys like Charles Farndale. He served in the Royal Tank Corps between the wars. And it's interesting, there's a connection here to a name you might recognize, Lord Baden-Powell, the Boy Scouts guy.
You're kidding. No way.
Yeah.
Wow, small world.
Right.
You know, it just goes to show you, history is full of these little surprises, you know, these connections that pop up when you least expect them.
It really is amazing how it all comes together.
Yeah.
And sadly, sometimes those connections, they lead us to stories of, well, incredible courage and sacrifice, like with Bernard Farndale. He was a flight engineer in World War II.
Bernard's story is, well, it's really something. He died over Denmark when his Lancaster bomber was shot down.
It's hard to even imagine, you know? These guys, they flew night after night over enemy territory.
They knew it could be their last flight every single time.
Yeah, the danger was just constant for those airmen. But there's more to Bernard's story, something that shows you, even in the darkest times, there's still humanity.
Absolutely, you're right. So the people in Denmark, even though they were occupied by the Germans, they recovered the bodies of Bernard and his crew. They gave him a proper burial. Can you believe that? They even put flowers on the grave. It was incredibly risky for them.
Wow.
Yeah. But they did it anyway because they respected those airmen, even though they were the enemy. It's pretty incredible.
It really makes you think compassion and bravery, they can show up anywhere, anytime.
For sure.
Even in a war. And while Bernard was flying in the skies, you had so many others on the ground, at sea, fighting these grueling battles.
Exactly. I mean, look at Richard William Farndale. He was with the 43rd Division in the Pacific. And believe me, that was a whole other kind of war out there.
Oh, absolutely. Fighting in the Pacific, it was a world away from what was happening in Europe.
Oh, yeah, totally different. You had the jungles, the heat, the fighting on those beaches and islands. It was brutal.
And we can't forget, it wasn't just those on the front lines. Back home in Britain, you had people like Sergeant William Derek Farndale leading the Withernsea Patrol of the East Riding Home Guard.
It's easy to overlook that side of things.
Right, but they were crucial.
Oh, absolutely. Those guys were putting in the hours, night after night, guarding against an invasion.
You're right. World War II, it really did touch everyone's lives everywhere.
It really did. No one could escape it.
It really was a global conflict, reaching every corner of the world. And then, as World War II is ending, you have this new kind of conflict emerging, the Cold War.
Yeah, and the Farndales, well, they answered the call again, this time with General Sir Martin Farndale. Now, his story, it's pretty amazing.
It really is.
He climbed the ranks of the British Army, eventually commanded the British Army of the Rhine, and even the Northern Army Group of NATO. This guy was a big deal.
We're talking about a time when, I mean, the threat of nuclear war was very real.
Oh, yeah. Those were tense times.
And Martin Farndale, he was right there leading the response to Soviet aggression.
He was known for being a brilliant strategist. He came up with this military concept. They called it the Farndale cocktail. The idea was to be ready to respond to any Soviet move with flexibility and decisiveness. He wasn't just reacting. He was thinking ahead, always planning for what might happen next.
It's obvious he really understood history, you know, and how to learn from it. And that passion for history, it didn't just disappear when he retired. He actually became a really well-respected military historian.
He really wanted to make sure that the men and women who served, their stories, their sacrifices, that it wouldn't be forgotten. He even became the chairman of the English Heritage Battlefields Trust. Worked so hard to protect those historical battlefields so that future generations could learn from them.
That's amazing. It seems like a fitting end to an incredible life. A life dedicated to understanding and preserving the past. And you know, as we come to the end of our deep dive here, it really brings us back to something we talked about earlier, this idea that history repeats itself.
Yeah, you're right. Richard Farndale, he was an artillery forward observation officer during the first Gulf War in the early 1990s. It just goes to show you, even as time goes by, that call to duty, it's still there for those with the Farndale name.
It's amazing, isn't it? From those medieval battlefields to the deserts of the Middle East. The Farndale family, they've been a part of military history for centuries.
And the really incredible thing is, it's not over. There are still Farndales serving today, carrying on this incredible legacy of service that goes back generations upon generations.
It's remarkable, it really is. So as we wrap up our look at the military history woven into the name Farndale, we want you to think about your own family story. What's hidden in your family's past? What sacrifices did they make? What challenges did they overcome? What did they achieve?
You might be surprised by what you find, you know?
Yeah.
Those echoes of the past, they're still with us today, even in our own lives.
Exactly. Maybe your ancestors fought in one of the wars we've talked about, or maybe they were doing something else, contributing in their own way.
Everyone played a part.
That's right. Whatever you find, remember, your family's story is part of history, part of this immense and complicated tapestry of human experience.
It connects us all.
It does. And by exploring those stories, we can learn so much, not just about the past, but about ourselves, about the world we live in today. It's fascinating stuff.